Okay. So, there are a few questions. Currently, does Wexpro One production provide more gas during the summer months than is needed by Wexpro's current customers?
Okay, I'll take a stab. I've got Tina here that's going to help me on that. Is that this last year, okay, because of circumstances related to our warmer winter and where we ended up with storage, we had more supplies being provided by Wexpro than we were able to either use or store at that time. But that absolutely, the answer to the question is it depends on where your storage level is, depends on where your volumes that you're able to use in the winter, as well as what the demand is in the summer. But be fully forthright, that did occur this last year. That typically has not occurred in the past as it relates to that. We have in the past, people should know, we've shut in production in the past for economic reasons, some of the benefits to be able to take care of purchases. But this summer we were not in need of being able to purchase anything because all of our supplies were able to be provided by Wexpro. Tina, anything else to add to that?
What, do you then just resell that gas since you can't store it and you can't use it?
We shut the well in. Shut wells in.
That's
I think you said they delivered more than you could use.
No.
They offered you more.
Yeah, we'll manage it so that we don't, we don't resell it.
There's a section on depreciation. And in Wexpro 1, it talks about the divisions allowed to review the depreciation, whatever. And that's not in the Wexpro 2. And
you made us go searching on that one.
Yeah.
And we go, I think the observation is that they regularly review it and work with it. And that will be occurring. Anything that happens that might need to have a change with it, if it could, easily be handled within the guideline letters, which is set forth.
They clearly review depreciation as part of the accounting wanted review.
Well, we understand they do it for one, right. But we're saying we didn't see it for two.
Specific one, and you and I sat down and we tried to, I don't know if our brainstorm tried to remember why, because I didn't call it out as a change.
It was just covered by the accounting monitor fund.
And also, was that the one where there was a statement of how the agreement worked inside the definitions in Wexpro 1? Was it, is it in the definitions?
It's in the definitions, yeah.
And I think that may have been, and trying to go back with history, that may have been what we ended up changing in that
because
area.
Because it wasn't appropriate to put actions, substance, inside of a definition. So it got pulled out of the definition in Wexpro 2,
and it didn't
get anywhere.
Yeah, that's a fair. Actually, Michelle has better memory than I do on that. It was pulled out of the definition.
Quite a bit, a lot younger.
Yeah. that is an undisputed fact.
That's going to say true.
She really needs lunch, Barry.
And all we're talking about is facts today, so carry on.
Okay. But what's the current depreciation? I mean, how many years are wells? Because you've talked about, you know, when you did the original depreciation.
So it's just like that chart. Any given well, these properties will be produced over 30, 40, or 50 years, and they get the depreciation occurs as the gas is produced.
Mm-hmm.
And so up front you have a lot of that investment drawn down and a lot of depreciation as it goes in.
Oh, so it's proportionate to
Proportionate to the production.
Okay.
Based on your estimated production.
Well, that is an actual calculation each year based upon the estimated reserves of remaining production that are updated each year.
Okay. Now, there is no specific termination clause in the agreement, and I know that you've made this to mirror the Wexpro 1. Are parties able to terminate the proposed agreement?
Yeah, that was, I think, best described as the agreement in concept is really just we have an option to choose to let a property come in. So an easy way to, quote, terminate not having any property ever brought in is say no. But once a property is brought in, and that's why I keep wanting to have, can you find Jim's one slide?
I don't think it's on there anymore.
Do you have, the slide that showed Jim's, and he had that decline graph, I mean the production, Once a property is in there, just like it is with Wexpro One, it will be for the life of the property. And so we are making decisions, and everybody ought to know that. This is not short run. And that's one thing Ron was trying to talk about too, is that if we don't view this for 20, 30, 40 year life of the property, then you know, it's not working. But once a property goes into the Wexpro 2 agreement, it will be there for life. So termination of it, you will naturally have at the end, let's say we purchased properties, they came in, then and then no more properties ever were given the yes sign. Then at the end of 30 years or 40 or whenever John's grandkids think that they're done, okay, that would be a natural termination. You can naturally terminate any properties coming in by saying no, but once that it's in that framework, people should understand that that will, just like today's properties, continue to, for the life of the property, be treated with that template. And there's
the sign is on slide 5.
Yeah, it's right here.
Now be careful, this is not, so don't talk numbers.
Well, I think it's fair just to say, this is a typical decline curve of a well. And so the property may go in right here, but then the termination, if you will, is right out here as to when those that property would stop being treated under this agreement. Either that or else you have the termination option of saying, we choose not to have it go into the agreement.
Okay. One of the things that was brought up was that on the rate of return calculation, you get the return that Wyoming authorizes and the commission authorizes. And if there's a well that only one state authorizes, do you get the rate of
do you have the other one? But we don't have to bring that one up, but do go and get it so we maybe can toggle back and forth. If Wyoming chooses to say, we're a whole lot smarter than Utah, and we're gonna say yes or no, right? Pick which way you wanna be smart. It does not become a Wexpro 2 property. So we would not face that dilemma. If it's said no by one of the agencies, it would become Wexpro E&P property and they would develop it accordingly, but it would not be part of Wexpro 2 and therefore it's not gonna have any.
But still the return on on that piece, if so one commission said
one
yes.
One commission says yes, then there's no return. There's no return.
It's not in the set of
the wells. We need both? Concurrence,
okay.
Is the way we've written.
Okay, yeah.
Right here, if they said no, it ends up here. Okay, it will not end up over here.
Okay, thanks for clarifying. I didn't get
Got it
out of it, so okay. So I think for some of these, like the public policy considerations, some of these have been, you know, they're, since we're running out of time here,
sure.
They're on the page, they're, you can see they're of interest.
Sure.
So,
there's one that comes to my mind. Can you speak a little bit to the competitive aspects of this agreement? I mean, Wexpro is an affiliate.
Okay.
You will be getting an opportunity to do some work that's not, the rest of the marketplace is not being able to offer up a deal to compete with this. Can you guys maybe speak to that aspect of this? I mean, have you done any checking to see what else is in the marketplace in terms of a long-term hedge?
Yeah, we typically each year, Tina will go out, we're here with our RFP process of having people come out and offer whatever they would like. In the past, when gas prices were going up and down all over, nobody would offer us, even for as long as we could run over here and tell you what we had as an offer. And so they've been very hesitant to do anything very much. But being very forthright, there are deals, no, I shouldn't say deals, there are purchase gas options that are being offered for more than 1 year now. We've had the longest, what's the longest anybody's ever offered for us?
We've had 3-year wintertime deals, but not at a fixed price. I think that's what you're getting at, right? To be a true hedge. It's not just the surety, reliability of supply, but I think she's referring to making it to doing a hedge for 3 years. And we haven't done that. We've done fixed prices for a year, but nothing for 3 years.
But there's really nothing in your RFP process that would prohibit offers of such like a 10-year deal.
Right. Or a producer coming to us.
Sister utility has undertaken such a...
No, I think we'd want to entertain any and all. We set out, and you know, some of it was, we did set out focused on saying, well, we know this has been, from our historical perspective, a pretty good deal. Okay, we've had $1 billion that we think that we can calculate out that has had some savings. So what is it that at least gives us, quote, an option to choose to have a property come into it? We're not closing the door on any of those others that may exist or people could come forward on. And to date, nobody has. It is way unique. And to work through this with a producer would, I think, be pretty rare out there, anybody else. But, I mean, you're seeing deals. I think Doug sent me one the other day. I mean, there's producers that are going and trying to do deals. Northwest has participated with, sorry,
Canada.
I went brain dead. Yeah. But, yeah, there's some that are out there, and we welcome anytime. I mean, we send them out to any and all with our RFP each year. But to be correct, we haven't received anything back from other parties.
Can you put anything in the RFP just to ask for a really long term? Like, anybody want to make a 10 or 20 year deal?
I think we'd say up to 5.
We've seen up to 5.
Well, no, I know you've seen that, but is there anything in the RFP that
prohibits?
That sends this message to say we're interested in a super long term deal.
We could say 1 to 5 years.
We never ask for more than 5.
No, but we can.
Yeah, I mean, that's. We can do that.
We just typically don't get a lot of response or anything.
So yeah. You've asked for 1 to 5 and you've gotten up to 3?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so far.
And we've accepted up to 3 as well. I mean, those have rolled off.
But not as a fixed price.
But not as a fixed price.
So this isn't fixed price.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing. I mean, this has some parameters, and that's a key thing. It's not a fixed price. And we certainly are not, Questar Gas or not, we don't own these properties. Wexpro's going to own these properties. What we get is we get the production from these properties at cost of service. And that's a very unique thing that's out there.
Barry, you've spoken about the termination issue, and I'm wondering about the term issue. Is the term of the agreement set forth in the Wexpro 2 agreement? And if it's not...
When you say term, meaning...
The term of the agreement, like... You anticipate?
Essentially, what it is, and we've had fun figuring out what's the easy way to help people understand what this is that we really think that all this is that we've got an option, and you're going to always have the option from here on. And so that's all this is just simply an option.
So the term is
so it's in perpetuity?
Yeah, it's in perpetuity.
For the life of the property, right?
Well, no, she's actually...
The framework will last.
Yeah.
These are the terms that will govern.
And so, you know, let's really forevermore, it's going to list, that, unless something, I guess, comes and there is a termination which isn't written in the agreement. Mm-hmm. But this option will always exist right now, if I'm understanding, attorneys jump in, that forevermore, if Wexpro were to purchase property within the development drilling area, they shall have to break. Okay. And that's the binding part of it. Outside of it, it could effectually be terminated by them never choosing to do the maze. Okay, but as far as things that we have to for sure do if it gets approved in perpetuity, that's what my understanding is.
I'm wondering about that aspect, and I...
Not lives and being.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
No.
Yes, I am.
See, I'm sitting down.
I probably... I'm a more recent law school graduate.
That was tactful.
much more tactful than me.
Or, it's true.
It's okay. She's younger than me.
And you're younger than me.
I'm just going to flag this.
Yeah.
There could be a rule
against
perpetuities issue here.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you're looking at me, but I want you to go look at them attorney over there.
We're comfortable with it.
There you have it.
Well,
Well, if it's in perpetuity, it's beyond the rule against perpetuities.
Perhaps. I don't know if a
right to production qualifies as the sort of property interest that is covered by the rule in perpetuities, because I graduated from law school in 1986. I've only thought about the rule against perpetuities twice, including this since then. So, but it's something, it's worth looking into.
Than that from the real property interest. This is it's not the transfer, it's not an agreement about the transfer of that right to production. It's an agreement to bring this into a regulatory body.
But once it's approved, though,
I don't know. Could I just went to the commission for assistance on this?
So, yeah.
We were really talking about argument here, and this is that's a technical conference.
I think that this is very appropriate for the end of January.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of being alive then, even though I'm very old.
Oh, really hungry.
Okay, well, I've just got three. Sure. Okay. Who? By whom will the gas be gathered for the wells under the proposed agreement?
Ah, good question.
So,
yeah. And so let's suppose that we have a property that we come there and we know that it's currently has some producing wells. We had an example of 42 here. Okay, that gas is currently being produced by, I mean, gathered by somebody else. So when we go in and we buy that, okay, depending on what the arrangements are in the purchase of that, we may or may not be bound to keep using that same gatherer. And also, we may, I mean, what the other wells that are developed there may or may not, under their ownership, be committed for gathering. Bottom line is, it will be connected with what the property is. It is not, and I just want to say that because I know that's an issue that's out there, it is not, will not be part of our current gathering agreement that we have with another.
I want to
answer that one really clear, that it is not part of that.
Okay, and then just two more questions. Number one, and this is a historic one, was it ever contemplated in Wexpro 1 that the cost of service would be more than market price?
Yes, yes. And actually, a good point to be able to identify that is it's right in the guts of the agreement as it relates to the oil properties. And you get there with the oil properties. That's on the next slide here, right over here. There is, maybe I've learned this, so these guys correct me really fast when I'm wrong, but in every well, there's oil and there's gas, okay? Every well, there's oil and gas. But that said, there's going to be a well that gets determined to be an overall oil well because of the criteria that's laid out in the agreement. And when that is, there will be some natural gas that always comes from that well. That gas is sold to us, Questar Gas, at lower of cost or market. They knew that potentially, at least in these wells, you could have costs be higher or costs be lower. So I think they recognized that. We've lived with it in our agreement. There's times in the past, in the 90s, that we had cost of service gas. Now I'm jumping here, Carol. I'm including all of our gas here. All of our gas together, okay, an average, has been higher. And we've recognized that, but we anticipate, and I think it's fair to say, that generally it's anticipated that it's going to be either at or lower than that. But yes, it was anticipated is the short answer.
Okay. See, I have one more question, and it's number one on the list. What was the purpose of the Wexpro 1 agreement?
Okay. That's a fun one, and I even was assigned to go and answer that one, and there's really some good summaries, and so in the interest of lunch, let me point you in some directions. One, we have a good little summary that is in our our IRP every year. That's the shortest read. A little longer read, though, is right in this baby, right here, and the first two sections do a really good job of that, of the stipulation. Okay, that helps to the purpose of what that was. Ultimately, it was, is simply figuring out how gas wells that were owned by our corporation would continue to be priced at cost of service or in a regulatory manner before this regulatory body as well as Wyoming's.
But was that required by a FERC order?
No.
No, okay.
No, this... If it was a FERC order, we would absolutely have played that card.
Okay.
but no, it wasn't.
It related to concerns that people had regarding transactions that would occur between the unregulated development business and the utility, right?
Yep.
And also
how we were developing those properties back then, what we were willing to develop going forward, those are all things, those properties, how they're going to be priced going forward.
And who had paid for the acquisition of those properties?
That may have come up in the debate also.
I think the stipulation lays out those really
well. That's a good summary.
Anybody else?
Hey, thank you.
Oh, wait, I won't know.
We're amazed at y'all hugging here, and obviously we'll answer others as you come along. Thanks.
I was prepared to be here.
Well, thank you.